Okay, then.
Yes, next to you. Angie. Yep, we're good.
Okay. Do you have any countdown there?
What?
Do you have any countdown?
Yeah, right? No, I should have. All right, it is 6 o'clock on Monday, December 17th, 2018. I'd like to call the Village of Alloway Plan Commission meeting to order. We'll begin with roll call. Cappuccino Simmons? Here. Wheeler?
Here.
Dart?
Here.
Norris here. Rupp?
Here.
Qualchuk Adrians? Not present. And Nyberg?
Here.
Item number two, modify, adopt the agenda. We're here. Qualchuk Adrians?
Here.
Item number two, modify, adopt the agenda. If there are no changes, I'll entertain a
motion. I'm going to adopt the agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Item number three, minutes from November 19th, 2018. There are no changes. I will entertain a motion.
Move to adopt.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Item number four, announcements.
Yes, in case you haven't heard, the same body will be breaking ground on the 29th. They'll be having a little ceremony at 11 up at their location. And I believe the plan has been for to join them for some of their beverages over at Mr. Brewery's in Bellevue.
So. That is December 29th?
December 29th.
So it's this year yet?
Yes. So we'll definitely send out some additional information beforehand, but that's the tentative plan at the moment.
Trevor, I just had a question. Do you know when their completion date was scheduled? I can't remember.
It's they're shooting for July.
July?
Mm-hmm. First part of July, I believe.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Item number five, public appearances. If anyone has anything that they would like to speak about that's not on a matter on the agenda, you can come forward now and talk about it. Just state your name and address.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the official Village of Alloway Bike Path Committee. Two things. One is I'm concerned that we may be using the PDD process to grant variances instead of going through the variance process. So there's a difference in property rights that go along with that. And the PDD process, I think, has been overused, and that we shouldn't be granting variances by way of a PDD. So that's one side. The second side is the Village of Alloway Public Works Committee has decided to move forward with the completion of the Arboretum Trail. They've added $700,000 to the budget to finish Rivers West St. Joseph Street. But there is no plan to connect the end of West St. Joseph Street to actually get to the trail. So you're still going to be, you know, a couple hundred feet short somehow. There's no way to get to the Fox River State Trail from the end of the Arboretum Trail. So there's $700,000 been allocated already. They are now, in the next 30 to 60 days, planning on completely redesigning West St. Joseph Street, moving, narrowing streets, and putting in bike lanes and parking and all sorts of things. And I think that it's this committee that has the best ideas for what should how that configuration should look. They're looking at a narrow sidewalk and a wide sidewalk on one side, but I'm afraid that it's not a comprehensive plan, and that the planning committee should, you've been working on this thing for a number of years now, should take a look at the plan, work with the Public Works Committee over the next 30 to 60 days, and come up with a way to get from Webster down to the Fox River Trail, and then work with property owners and the county to get access across their land. So there is no legal access to the Fox River Trail, either through West St. Joseph Street or Alloway Avenue. And the next 30 to 60 days is crucial, because they're going to decide how they're going to spend the extra $700,000, and they're going to be designing it in-house, but I think that they should have input from you. Thanks.
Is there anyone else that wants to come forward? Okay. Item number 6, action regarding petition from Bernie Van Epperen and Chris Battle requesting preliminary approval of a planned development district to construct a multifamily residential apartment building on parcels AL-55 and AL-55-1 located at 2050 Riverside Drive, the current Alloway Business Center office building. Trevor?
So as was included in your memo, this is currently the site of Alloway Business Center. It's an office building just south, for everyone's variance, just south of the Old East Supper Club building. And it's the current location for all the food trucks and everything else that goes on along the Fox River Trail. If you are part of those emails and noticed any of that information on our Facebook. But what the developer is proposing to do is raise the current building there and build a five-story apartment building, five stories from Riverside Drive, including approximately 86 apartment units, ranging from 1 to 2 bedrooms. There will be below-grade parking, 2 layers of below-grade parking, and stormwater treatment on-site. This specific property was not referenced directly in our comprehensive plan or in our corridor study, but properties immediately to the north were and did call out for residential use. So this does pretty much fit within our preliminary comprehensive plan is asking for. But there are representatives here from the development for specific questions.
I guess if you would like to come forward and just state your name and address. Yeah.
Chris Battle, 1727 Katy Lane, De Pere, Wisconsin.
And Bernie Van Epperen, 231 Allison Court in Wrightstone.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Trevor just mentioned 2 parking layers below grade. Does that count for one of the stories? Because when I was looking at it, I thought one of the 5 stories looked like it's just below grade or just about.
Yeah,
The first story of the residential side is just a little bit below street level. The two levels of parking are below that.
Okay. So when you look at the picture here, there shows four apartments. Right? Oh, there's a business restaurant.
Yeah, that was we kept it the first level as optional that way. In case there was enough of a demand for it. And in our studies, we have found that there's a lot of retail space available, and it would probably be more conducive to include that in with the residential versus having more retail when there's so much available already.
Look at the new projects downtown DePere, and you know, and even the one Metro downtown Green Bay, they all have retail and they're just sitting empty.
Mm-hmm.
So it does say that on there, you know, just as to the street level. Good chance we're going to put our office in there, though. So our new Wall Street office there as well.
How many units is it?
86 units.
It'll be 86 if all five of the above grade would be apartment units, so that would probably be the maximum. If we have our offices in there, it'd be between 80 and 82, depending upon how much.
So there's four levels of apartments. How much is that, or how many units on the top?
There's 10 units on the top floor. And as you can see, that's recessed a little bit from the overall building footprint to allow for terraces and such up there.
And we've worked with the Proforma, who also worked, I believe, on the Braeburn project. So they're familiar with the sight lines and the, you know, that sort of thing. So they had some knowledge of that. So they tried to draw as close as they could to the specs, because I think they helped on that too.
And then the bottom two are parking.
Yep.
Yeah, there's two floors of parking, 50 stalls in each approximately right now.
Okay. The apartments are two bedroom or?
There's a combination of one and two. If you look at the description, there's roughly, it looks like there would be 48 one-bedroom and 37 two-bedroom, the way it's currently drawn up. That may change a little bit depending upon needs and requirements.
So I know we said it doesn't meet technically our parking code right now. Is this, you know, outside and then inside covered. Do you know how many inside covered that you have?
There's 100 stalls inside right now, and we have been looking at where you see the courtyard there,
yep.
Potentially putting more stalls under there, which would bring us to just below 2 per unit. 1.98, I believe, is what it came up to. So we're one short.
So that's even in the one-bedroom units?
Yeah, there would be then almost 2 per unit available.
And how many are on the site?
38, I think.
On the outside, it's 38.
38, yeah.
Now, I think I saw a reference in there to maybe having some consideration of having the building closer in those parking spots in the back. So
right.
Trevor must have had that conversation with you.
Yeah, and this, again, is just the preliminary, so there's lots of stuff that we can do depending on what we need to do.
I agree with what Jim was talking about earlier. This is in the area of St. Joseph Street.
Correct.
That's working with what's being done at St. Joseph Street and this, but to make some kind of a connection between, because there, it doesn't show any kind of way for the people in apartments to like walk to the Fox River Trail to get out and walk, or where the sidewalk would go to, you know, to be connecting. We're building all these apartments, all this, you know, in this area. There's the people want to get outside, want to use Fox River Trail and park space. We're not connecting it, and I see that as a problem, and so we want to see an emphasis on getting those things all connected together. And that may include, because it looks like it's about, you know, a little bit off of St. Joseph Street, of working with the property next door and getting something to connect between the two.
Well, I mean, the reality is it could be a connection for the residents there, but your insurance might not allow public access. that could be an insurance nightmare. And I mean, we can encourage business owners to have public access on their sites, but that we can't make that a requirement. I mean, for private business owners.
But if you,
so we can encourage that.
Right.
But I mean, that's up for you and your insurance company to hash out.
Going to dictate a lot of that.
Right.
But we have tried to obviously make that place as open to the public. And we have, Trevor mentioned, we do the food trucks. We've got, we want people to walk their dogs on there. We put dog, you know, we're doing all that stuff there. And certainly any way we can get the, you know, if we can make it work,
we're willing to.
I'm not talking about like people leaving their cars there. I'm talking about just having sidewalks for your residents that people in the neighborhood would use to walk around.
Yeah.
And just have that connection where there's nothing. And
there's all this development, excuse me, with apartments on, you know, St. Joseph going up the hill, you know, and those are going to be filled, and all those people are going to see the river and see Fox River Trail, and they're going to want to get there, and they would probably rather not trespass.
I think this comes up
every time we have something going on along Riverside, is eventually, if we keep claiming that the Fox River Trail is an amenity for this village, then we have to make it accessible. And so now you have the opportunity to do that, and it's important.
Yeah, like we were talking, if insurance allows it, we're open to it, but we haven't crossed that bridge yet.
Yeah, I would encourage you to try and cross that bridge.
Okay.
And I think the some of the other plans we've seen definitely have sidewalks, at least on our property. You know what I mean? I know it's used all driveway, but I think there were some plans to put the sidewalk along there, too.
And the south side, so I know there is room for a sidewalk, and we have talked about it already.
Yeah.
Again, it's just the logistics and making sure we're covered.
Yeah. I just, since this is a PDD, it's kind of a give and take. You know, the village should have something of value also, other than just apartment building that's 12 feet taller than the code.
Right.
So what's in it for us is kind of what I'm saying. Not trying to be.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah,
you know, if we're giving concessions on parking or height, then a sidewalk, I don't think, could be too difficult to negotiate.
Sure.
And if potentially the village can take ownership of a strip just to allow residents to get to the trail.
The other thing I'm concerned about is the height. That you know, if every one of these that's coming down is asking to forego the height restriction, then why do we have the height restriction if we're allowing all of them?
Do we remember what the height was on Braeburn? It was over, but I don't remember how much.
Very similar to this one.
Yeah.
Braeburn's a condominium.
Yeah.
It was like
one. Well, I want to say it was around 65. I think the 15 number sticks in my head.
Okay. So about 15 feet over?
Yeah, I believe so.
And again, we had Performa had helped Braeburn, and so they had used that site. They used that, you know, as a reference, whatever that number was.
Yeah,
we
thought that. We were under it, but
yeah, and we might be. You're so trying to. We were showing them a phone above it.
Yeah.
And they do. You can only go 5 above because of the fire code restrictions. So that's the best you can do. You can't go any otherwise.
Unless you do a lot.
Unless you do a lot of stuff, you get into steel, and now you're going huge. And that's not going to happen. So
if that's what the fire code is, and that's what people want to build to, and that's, you know, then why don't we have that in the code?
Because we need a new zoning code, perhaps?
Yeah.
Yes.
Perhaps we need a new zoning code.
Could be a connection.
Possible.
Is it possible to do more of the, you know, closer to the street parking along the side, kind of just to go with more of the neighborhood feel with the, is that something to be, or does the geography preclude something like that?
It's a little harder because you're going to be on a grade than on the sides, and that makes it a little bit more difficult, a little bit more dangerous, especially in the wintertime. It's not saying that we can't, it just makes it a little bit more difficult.
Okay.
I just drove past there this evening, and who owns a property that's directly across? Is that diocese?
That's
Muslim,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's just a brownland right now, and it's not right next to the cemetery. It's a little...
The cemetery is right across the street from one end of it, and then HME is right across the street from
just a little bit of it. Nobody there yet.
Yeah, kind of looks weird at that end. I think theoretically the cemetery could go there.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
but it does look like a lot.
Yeah, if you look at it there, the HME is just on the one little X on the corner. The rest of it is the mausoleum. Whether or not it's going to be a cemetery, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. There's not much there.
As far as I know, they don't look out much.
No, and there's really nothing behind it either. I mean, further up on the hill, what is there, CVS? And
Yeah.
More cemetery.
Yep. About it.
What kind of plan do you have? Maybe not yet, but for, do you have a phase two?
Well, that was, we were looking at doing it in two separate phases. The original mindset was that, but then when we found out the additional cost it would take to do it in two phases, we scrapped that idea and we do it all at once. Yeah. That's why you see the phase one,
it's
phase two.
Yeah. Five-story apartment.
Yeah.
Both phases.
We thought just developing that lot, that empty lot at first, and then, like Bernie said, it was going to, you save several million dollars.
It's a lot of redundant expenses.
Correct.
To start over again.
That's right. Exactly. That's why we
kind of
scrapped it.
Yeah.
Just to, for my own clarification, the building is at one place. Is that wooded lot part of this?
Yeah, that's the wooded lot is part of it.
I see it's two parcels, but there was only one address.
Right.
We just actually split it because we were looking at just doing one lot, but then economically it didn't make sense. So we'd have to bring them back together.
Yeah,
we'd
have to bring them together. Yeah.
As one.
Yep.
Yeah, you can see the blue line there where they split it there in the middle one, right down the driveway.
It's like a good place for a trail.
Mm. That'd have to go right through the middle of the building.
Oh, that's all the building.
The courtyard will go straight through.
We could dig a tunnel.
No, it never makes sense. I mean, that's what we've seen before. The sidewalk on the north side of it.
The south side of it. The south side is where the extra couple feet are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a significant grade.
My
office is literally that northeast corner of Somerville's building.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's you know the grade then.
Yes,
pretty significant.
I look out at it every day.
That's the other concern with the sidewalk going down there. It's a pretty significant grade.
Yeah. It's 20 feet easily.
It should be in your packet.
It's pretty preliminary at this point.
Mapping.
It's a mass drawing where it doesn't have the architectural or anything on it. So there are views of kind of what it looks like from the river, from the trail, and from the street.
Yeah. So Riverside looking south.
Yeah.
Kind of gives you an idea.
The top unit, will that have? Is that sort of like planned for sort of outdoor space then around?
Yeah,
the
right.
There'd
be like terraces.
We think that's a unique feature that doesn't exist on the. Everybody else has just those patio, you know. I mean, or the balconies. You know what I mean? We're like, actually, it would be nice to have a terrace there. We feel it'd be kind of a cool. They could put flowers and trees and things and stuff. You know, small. Mm-hmm. The plan is also to be pet friendly as well. So folks that do want to pets, you know, so. And also, I have to, you know, they can have pets there. You can ask them.
Anything else?
No.
We do have other questions that come up after. Obviously, you can always contact with us, and Trevor's got our contact info. So.
Sure.
Thank you for your
consideration.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Does make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the preliminary approval or pass it on to the board tomorrow night. The recommendation to approve the preliminary approval.
Do we want to add like a...
And we do want to add something, but Becky, do you want to state that for me?
We just need to be looking at pedestrian access through from the trail to the street for the residents.
So with much concern toward pedestrian access.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure how that would be worded.
Trevor will figure it out.
That's why we have Trevor. He straightens these things out.
All right. There's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Item number 7, action regarding the 2018 Alloways Plan Commission annual report.
So just getting a little jump start for this year. Typically we start talking about this in February, but had some time last week, so I figured we could begin discussion or just begin the thought of what we want to start looking at next year. I know last year we went to the village board for a little more direction as far as where they would like us to go. So I guess just real preliminary discussion, if any of the Planning Commission had any thoughts or any ideas of different future tasks or initiatives you wanted to look at or recommended initiatives, so areas to improve.
Did we ask the Village Board like a month or two ago for their direction? Did we? Why am I thinking that we did? That was last year.
Oh. I know.
I feel like that was like 2 months ago.
Maybe. I thought it was last year.
So are we going to ask this year?
Yeah.
Did we?
We can.
I was going to say, like, I guess if they have any recommendations that they would like us to do.
Yeah, I agree.
I would think that we would still be doing some work on zoning.
Yes. One thing that we've been discussing internally too, and we've also discussed with Brown County, is different areas, crossing locations on Webster, how to safely cross Webster Avenue. Just real preliminary discussions again with that, but I would hope that we can get more, have deeper discussions on that in this coming year. And certainly we want the Planning Commission's input. We've also talked a little bit about different crossings and locations on Riverside Drive for the Fox River Trail. So I know that was mentioned. In our bicycle and pedestrian plan and comprehensive plan, it shows for crossings at Alloway Avenue and Webster. They kind of show the dotted line just going straight across. And we want to be sure that those locations are the safest, if that's what we're proposing. And as those projects come about, that we can include those in as well.
For Alloway Avenue and Webster for crossing Webster?
No, I'm sorry. Riverside.
For crossing Riverside.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's a stoplight there. But when you get down the hill, you're in trouble.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times I think we all know that pedestrians will take the path of least resistance. They will go the quickest way. Whether there's a safe crossing there or not. So that's something to keep in consideration, too. when planning for facilities, is it the facility that's actually going to happen, or is it just the best one on paper? And,
right.
So I think, as we discussed tonight, as properties continue to be developed on here, that's probably more and more of a real issue that we should take a look at, and maybe that's something that the Planning Commission would want to take a look at this coming year. Yeah, so getting back to then on Webster Avenue, Brown County is looking at doing, or they did do, traffic counts and turn patterns on Webster Avenue near Green, 172, and then Broadview. And then from there, they'll be able to make a determination of what type of facility or what type of crossing is the most safe, and be able to recommend that to the DOT if it's near 172 there, or is it something up closer to Green Avenue. So that is something that, as we get those results in from Brown County, we'll definitely share with you guys and welcome any input on that.
Maybe something we should do is take a field trip out to those areas and just take a look at them all together and see if, you know, our minds can come up with any ideas in the areas we're talking about or crossing areas.
You can come by my house. We can walk over there.
We can all go to Baggies. Cross
over there with my bike, going to work and going to places and, you know, going to the pier and going back and forth. But, yeah.
Well, yeah, and part of this discussion was because Becky's been mentioning about crossing on Webster near 172 there. A couple years ago, we had that trail put in on the south side of Paradise Hill, and we have sidewalk planned from, you know, Green Isle all the way up Green Avenue to Webster. And so how do you make that one connection, that existing connection, complete? And so that's kind of what started this discussion, and Brown County is going to determine, based off those results, what's the best best type or best location for that crossing to continue that connection down to the Fox River Trail, because then at Riverside and 172 there is that signalized crossing there too.
With no way to get across Webster there with the signal, they wouldn't. DOT would not put the lights there with the Pedhead crossings across Webster, because I don't know what the reasoning was, but they don't, and so you can't tell what's going on there. And also Heritage Hill, since the sidewalk went in on Green, people are parking down Green Street and into my neighborhood when there's Heritage Hill events. So that needs to be taken into consideration too.
Yeah, and we'll definitely continue to keep Heritage Hill on the route too.
So speaking about like the sort of safe crossings on Riverside, there's the by Briar on Riverside down there. There's sort of that pedestrian forced one. I guess, have you gotten any feedback regarding that as to how successful, if that's the right word, that is, or?
I don't think the DOT has gone out and has done any comments for the amount of crossing. Some of the comments that we did receive are positive. Thankful that there is a pedestrian crossing, which also still have the motorist that is not obeying it. And there's not just myself, but there's been, I'm sure, other incidents where as you're crossing, as it's red, giving you the opportunity to cross, and that car going through suddenly slams on the brakes and they realize it too late. They're already through the crosswalk, and they understand, everyone else has stopped. So it's going to still take a lot more education. Utilization, you know, get people out and using it will be helpful.
I was just curious if, you know, if that was sort of a successful thing, if that could be, you know, implemented in other places on Riverside, but it might be too early to tell.
We wanted to duplicate it on the north end,
right?
But we were only able to get the approval for a rapid flashing beacon.
Right.
It's kind of a difficult situation to, I mean, I live on, we live on Arrowhead Drive, and we walk down and use that crosswalk, you know, a few times, and it's like you almost have to have the mindset of having a confrontation with cars coming towards you. You got to look them in the eye, and for me, you know, I'd be feeling better about just jaywalking down at Rivers Arrowhead Drive and just waiting for a clearing in the traffic and then just running across the street or limping across the street with my bad hip. But I mean, it's just something it's not jaywalking, but it's not using the opportunity that's been given to us,
because
it kind of puts you in confrontation with cars coming towards you rather than just waiting for them, waiting for an opening.
I've crossed at that site using the crosswalk,
yep,
and look down the street, you know, a block or two away, and there's bicyclists or other walkers trying to cross right up the street. You know,
that's probably me. Probably me. Did I have two dogs?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was me.
I guess, yeah, see if maybe the village board has other ideas for us as well.
Sure. Yeah, we'll continue to keep that connections and crossings on as an ongoing item almost.
You know, is there something, I know we've encouraged mixed use, but as these gentlemen said, there's retail space everywhere because you don't need so much anymore because you have the internet. Amazon just brings it to your house. I mean, really, we gotta start thinking of a mixed use in a different way, like maybe not retail.
Restaurants,
coffee shop, offices, that kind of thing. Retail's kind of not that popular anymore. Unless you have a whole little bunch of cute boutique-y kind of shops all in one place that someone can go and, you know, spend the day looking at.
But yeah, you're right, and it's also, I've heard from other developers, it's almost chicken or the egg kind of thing. You need density in order to help keep those retail spots open.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd like density and mixed or retail to come with as like a mixed use development, but sometimes you need that apartment first to build that density to then attract the retail. Banks also don't like to finance mixed use as much. So a lot of times what I've heard from, again, from other developers is that a lot of times they'll, banks will write that off as almost a zero rent.
Oh, really?
Just because, as was referenced, there are other mixed-use developments in this area that are vacant. Now, I'm a believer that eventually those will be filled and will be very successful, but it's, again, building that density first to support that retail.
Yeah, and if they put a restaurant coffee shop in there, there's all those apartments across the street that if you can't walk there, then it's not.
There you go.
The people live in the neighborhood that come there, the people that live in the houses and around there that come there. Yeah. So you need that density.
The coffee shop by those, that corridor would invite all the neighborhood.
Alright. Any other ideas? Is that sufficient?
Yeah, I think that's enough. We're starting early this year, so
we can come back to it. Okay. Alright, item number 8, action or discussion regarding the 2019 meeting schedule.
So I put together a list of tentative meeting dates. I think the ones in bold, I just want people to keep in mind. I think how we've done it in the past with dates that fall on or around holidays, observed holidays, generally move it the week ahead. So this would be useful for me, just as talking with developers or other people that want to be on a planning for different meetings, that tentatively we know about where these meetings are going to fall. And again, it can change depending on, you know, what's coming forward. If you have an additional meeting 1 month or no meeting 1 month, everything too. But tentatively, does this schedule make sense? And then maybe the one in May and one in December move to the third week? Or?
That makes sense to me. I mean, Then you have something laid out at least. And if we don't need the meetings that are moved, we can cancel them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we should have them on the books.
Do we need to put dates to those? So on here for action item or?
I don't think so, unless, you know, again, there's nothing saying that we have to meet the fourth Monday of the month. That's just kind of something that we've adopted. So if you want to make that the new norm, you know, meet the third Wednesday or whatever, then I'd say, yeah, let's take some action. But if you're okay with sticking with the norm being the fourth Monday at 6 p.m.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
That works.
All right. Item number 9, report discussion regarding village projects and property updates, zoning code rewrite project.
Yeah, just wanted to touch base that we're working forward. We met and reviewed a direction memo from Codemetrics and Duncan and are working. They've taken our comments and we're working forward to getting a rough draft. We're hoping January meeting maybe, but probably it'll end up being February meeting by the time we get that first initial draft. So then we'll have some public opportunity and opportunity for you all to review and discuss that as well. So essentially it for that. I also have another item that Brad was going to touch on. If there aren't any questions for. I'll make mention to take a look at the height, too.
Just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on where we're standing with our petition to decommission GBCI. With Governor-elect Evers in town last week, yeah. We did put a packet of information together for Governor-elect and handed it off to his staff so that he's well aware of what's going on. The work that has been done through the petition, the number of signatures to the feasibility study or economic impact that St. Norbert put together for us, and the conceptual plan, again, just a conceptual plan that was put together by resident David Robillard. Hoping to get a few minutes via face-to-face or over the phone with either Governor-elect Evers or his chief of staff. So just wanted to give you an update on, you know, we're not going to let this drop that easily and keep pushing forward.
Do we have any word when the study for the prisons are supposed to be complete?
I spoke with Representative Stefan about 2 weeks ago, maybe three, and he put a request in that the studies be released by December 15th. I have not seen anything. If they were released, maybe it was to that committee. Okay. And just not public at this point.
Well, maybe it meant 2019.
Well, but yes, I wouldn't say, they're about weekly phone calls to either Senator Cole's office and or Representative Steffen's office, and did sit down with Senator Hansen and, gosh, yes, and another representative from Green Bay, Stosh, and I apologize for, I can't think of his last name. But,
Brzezinski.
Yes, thank you. Just to give them an update on what we've been working on, and thought it might not be a bad idea, but it would be a good idea if maybe we can get our local representatives both to the Senate and get them to the floor and have a discussion with them, answer any questions that they may have. Not the easiest thing to to arrange. And then, of course, with last week's events down in Madison, it kind of took that whole week out of the play. And, of course, now you're close to the holiday season. We'll keep working on it.
Okay. Item number 10, report discussion regarding standing committees.
Just wanted to touch base on the West St. Joseph Project, because that was something that was discussed earlier tonight, but it was also discussed at Public Works meeting last week. So I do have what was presented to the committee last week, and probably rely on Brad for input on what exactly was discussed, but from what I've received from our Public Works Director, this preliminary layout shows a 7-foot sidewalk, wide sidewalk, with, it's going to take a while, but 7-foot wide sidewalk on the north side with on-street bike accommodations, 6-foot terrace for the most part between that sidewalk and the road. So in order to accomplish this, they're going to be narrowing West St. Joseph, how you see it today, to be able to accommodate for this facility without going through much expense with needed retaining walls and that sort of thing. As you get down further towards the Chapel Hill apartment project, there will be a couple of stalls for on-street parking as well. The Public Works Committee requested that the Public Works Department take a look at a 5-foot sidewalk on the south side and what the feasibility is of that, both cost and infrastructure. If you're familiar with West St. Joseph, you would know that on both sides of the road you have steep hills, steep grade going up. So it's challenging and also expensive for retaining walls and that sort of thing. So it's something that they're taking a look at, and as was mentioned, in the next 30 to probably 60 days, we'll have a more clear answer as far as where they stand on that. But yeah, so this is just one more extension or one more piece of that trail connection that we have been discussing that was identified in the corridor study in 2015. Last year we completed the portion on East St. Joseph here. That's a 7-foot walk. And then you have the existing sidewalk portion between Libel and Webster, and then so this would be the third leg. But then, as was mentioned earlier, and we'll continue to discuss, how do you then take those pedestrians and safely get them across Riverside Drive? So that's something I think that even if it was decided on tonight or next month, it would not be part of this project just because of the timing of when we have to bid everything. We're going out for bid in February, so it's just by the time you design something, you delay this project, and you don't want that to happen. So, but again, that is something that we'll continue to look at as far as how to safely cross Riverside Drive and at what locations. And obviously, we'll talk about that here as we've been discussing for a couple of years about those different options. So.
Trevor, does this work just for west of Webster Street or also east?
West.
Just
yes.
West. Okay.
So from East River Drive at Libel, there's a 7-foot walk.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there's a 5-foot walk between Libel and Webster, but a 5-foot walk on either side as of this summer when the Safe Routes did the southern side there. And then they planted this fall a bunch of trees east of Webster Avenue, too, so make it more of that arboretum type of feel.
Would it make sense, if you're looking at the other side of the street, to put a 5-foot sidewalk on both sides of the street rather than a 7-foot one and nothing? You know, as far as expense and everything, would you be able to then pull the street in on the other side a little bit, give a little more room for terrace on the other side to just have, because you've already got 5 feet on the other side of Webster, 5 foot wide, and you're going to put bike lanes on the street, and you then, you know, is that there, you're looking at putting 5 feet on both sides of the street. Would that make it easier than a 7-foot and a 5-foot, you know, to reduce the cost? And I mean, I just think if you would look at that.
There was pretty much everything is still on the table. How's that? The direction that was kind of given to Sean was to, you know, evaluate the sidewalk on the south side. The north, or on the north side, was recommended to be 7 foot. He wanted to make sure that we had 16-foot drive lanes, mm-hmm. so that she had a 4-foot shoulder, and whether or not they become bike lanes, or are they, you know, signed properly. But I think, you know, right now, I think pretty much everything is still out there, but he needed to have some sort of a little bit of a guidance on what it is that he's asking the consultant to help them with. We had, I think, 10 residents from St. Joseph condominiums attended the meeting as well to get their input. I think overall they're excited about a sidewalk. Mm-hmm. They were excited when they didn't have to pay for the sidewalk. You know, they had some valid concerns about getting in and out during the construction and how it's all that going to take place, and all those will be followed up once a schedule is put into place. One of the committee members suggested a 5-foot sidewalk on the north side and an 8-foot trail on the south side.
And then no bike accommodation
Correct.
On the street?
Correct.
Because, I mean, that street is very easy to bike on right now. I use it during the summer. It's nobody ever parks out there. It's easy to ride down. But
minus the
harder to ride up.
An escalator was brought up.
Yeah. I usually go down that street and then come around and use 172 to go up.
Jim, is there a motion to suspend the rules? Is there a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue, former co-chairman of the Bike Bid Committee. I was at the meeting, well attended by all the residents. The suggestion was the narrow sidewalk on the north side because the bikers will tend to be on the street because it's going downhill, so it's easier on that side. And then a wider sidewalk, maybe a possible trail of 8 feet on the south side because people will tend to be walking their bicycles up. So this is there was a lot of discussion. Sean is doing a great job. My feeling was is he just needed some more input from some people who are, you know, on this committee. So there's a lot of different choices there, and it's going to be happening very fast. Thanks.
Is there a motion to return to regular?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Anything else on that topic? No? All right. Item number 11, next meeting date and future agenda items.
January 28th, is, I think, is the next meeting. We might have, I know we have a couple projects there in queue, hanging out there, including this one that might come back for a final PDD approval. We'll see how the timing shakes out, but I think we're also talking about the annual report. More. Yeah, possibly the zoning code as well.
Alright. So there's nothing, anything else. Item number 12, adjourn. Is there a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.